Restoration for you and your neighbor. Restoration for you and your neighbor. Ezekiel chapter 36, you can leave your Bible open there if you want to follow in the scriptures. I'm just going to be skimming over the chapter tonight as we just share. But this particular passage is about Israel, the people of God. And though it is speaks of physical Israel, it also has a spiritual application for us today. And so what I want to do today is take an opportunity to take a moment and just to look at the story here and see how it might apply to you and I here tonight. First of all, when you look at the current state of the nation, I ask the question, what was their current state? And much of the nation was at this particular time in ruins. The land was full of empty, desolate places. And the following verses tell us why. In verse 17, the Bible tells us that they had defiled the land by their evil deeds. And when the Bible speaks of evil deeds, another word for that would be their sins, the things that they had done wrong, actions that you and I take that are contrary to God's law. Let me say that again. The word sin in the Bible simply means actions that you and I take that are contrary to God's prescribed way of living, his prescribed way of acting, his law. The scripture goes on to say that their conduct was filthy and they had polluted the land with murder and by worshiping idols. And maybe you're here tonight and you might think to yourself, well, I've never killed anybody. I've never murdered anybody. But you find yourself tonight here in this place and you've got a lot of hate in your heart. You're hating on folks. You find yourself full of hate tonight. And as a result, many of the relationships or potential relationships that you might have for some reason suffer as a result of all this bottled up hate that you have on the inside. Others tonight might find themselves empty because they've been pursuing or maybe unwittingly worshiping the things of this world. You've looked to and trusted in everyone and everything other than Christ, only to be left disappointed, disillusioned, and devastated. Verse 3 tells us that their enemies had attacked them from all directions, and now they were possessed by many nations. How many today are facing or have been overcome by some type of fear that has gripped your heart and seized you? Others, maybe it's some form of rejection that has come in or that you face at some point in your particular walk or life, and it gripped you and it's left lasting effects on your life, even today. Others may be here tonight, some form of discouragement has overcome you or taken possession of you, or some type of depression or hopelessness. Some may be even battling thoughts of suicide here tonight, like so many young people in this generation do. We prayed about that very thing last night. We said that over 50% of college students will consider suicide. 50% of college students will consider suicide. Some of the stats that we talked about even last night. Some here tonight may be feeling directionless. I speak to so many young people and I ask them, what's your major? Have you decided? And they can't decide. They don't know what to do. They feel like there's no purpose for their lives. Tonight there may be some here, maybe you're battling some type of addiction, drug addiction, alcohol. So many young people are drinking, find themselves doing drugs. I remember even as a young person, just because of the people I was hanging out with, I found myself doing something I never imagined I would do. Even though my parents had warned me not to do it, and I knew it was wrong, just because of peer pressure, just because I was in this particular place at the wrong time, I found myself experimenting with weed. Some here tonight, you're trapped. You find yourself in this particular place. I think of others. I think of an article I read recently about young people that were seeking medical attention for them because they can't go to sleep at night. They stay on their computers IMing, or they're on their cell phones texting all night. All night. And so now their parents are having to seek medical attention to help them because of this particular addiction that has gripped them and they can't stop. In verse 5, the Lord says, Edom, has shown utter contempt for me, taking my land for themselves. And for others here tonight, Edom, which represents the flesh, has gotten the upper hand on you. Your passions are controlling you. In the Bible, it describes these passions or these deeds of the flesh as sexual immorality, for example, in Galatians chapter 5. Sex outside of marriage. Addictions to pornography, as we prayed about tonight. Impure thoughts. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. An inability to stop pursuing these things. Idolatry. Participation in demonic activities. So many young people begin to experiment with these things, not knowing the door that it will open up to their soul, to the powers of hell themselves. Hostility. Young people tonight, adults tonight, that walk around and they're like a ticking time bomb. Like a ticking time bomb. I know what this is all about. Even as a young person, I remember this was my life. This was my story. I would bottle things on the inside until one day someone would come. It could be my mom. It could be my dad. It could be my brother. It didn't matter who it was, but someone would come and push that button, and all of a sudden I would explode. An uncontrollable hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition. You know, you could be even in the ministry, like in a choir, and have selfish ambition in your heart. You could be in a ministry here in this church or in another church and have selfish ambition in your heart or jealousy in your heart. So many young people today battle. Do you know what this is? Bochinchero, bochinche. Gossip. Slander. Just to make themselves feel good or to get the upper hand, they will begin to talk about someone else. Guys are really good at this, too. Guys will put one another down, crack jokes on one another, just to make themselves feel better, just to make themselves feel good. But you can have this even in the ministry today, this type of stuff. It's the flesh. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and all types of other sins. But tonight I want to share a testimony with you of a young lady. She was sexually abused when she was young. She was depressed, living apart from God. She ended up in an abusive relationship and found herself battling thoughts of suicide. She wanted to take her life. Things got that bad. She showed up here one day at our offices wanting help. And our team ministered to her in the office, and she gave her heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. And she got plugged into our foundations class. And soon after that, she got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She got baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. She says, since then, since God saved her and revealed himself to her, he's been showing himself and deepening her, and she's been growing in so many different ways, and she's been seeing God in the scriptures, and she was so excited. She said before she got saved, she didn't know anything about the Bible, but now she's learning so quickly. And she says she's so happy. She's so happy, and she feels loved and accepted by God, and that God is her daddy. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, there's hope tonight. I said there's hope tonight. Wherever you find yourself, no matter what you're going through, there is hope tonight. And his name is Jesus. He is the personification of hope. He is the personification of love. He is the personification of your salvation, deliverance. Everything you and I will ever need in this life, Jesus is that. And more. Hallelujah. He is the more than enough God. He is the El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is everything you and I have ever been looking for. God promised that he would restore the years that have been devoured and devastated. He promised that even in Ezekiel 36, he promised that there would be restoration. In verse 8, you see, it says the mountains of Israel will produce heavy crops of fruit. If you read the next part of verse 8, it says, my people will come home again. Those that have been devastated, those that find these places of desolation in those lives, those that are bound, those that feel like they can't break free from these life-controlling habits, he says, I'm going to call them home. They're going to begin to turn and look to me. In verse 9, he says, I am concerned for you. Do you know God is concerned about you tonight? He goes on to say in that same verse, I will help you. I will help you when no one else will help you. If your mother and father forsake you, I will take you up. The ruined cities, those ruined areas in your life, he says in verse 10, will be rebuilt. Your flocks and herds will greatly multiply. In other words, I will make you even more prosperous than you were before. In verse 15, he says, I will not allow those foreign nations to sneer at you. What does that mean to you and I today? No one will be able to make fun of these areas in your life again. Hallelujah. You won't be written off because of these things that once bound you and held you. People who said there's no hope for him. You will never amount to anything. You're just like your father. He says, I'm going to remove that label from your life. I'm going to change you. You will become another person. Because everything, hallelujah, I do, everything I do is good. When he created the heavens and the earth, the Bible says it was good. Do you know everything he does is good? Hallelujah. He says, you will no longer be shamed by them. The Bible tells us that Jesus, despising the shame, he went to the cross. Do you know what that word means? It means despite the shame, he overcame the shame. The shame that you are carrying tonight, Christ overcame it on the cross. He bore it for you and I. Are you ashamed tonight for maybe some of the things that you find yourself doing that you never imagined you would? I think of the husband who goes to that computer when his wife is not looking and he can't help himself clicking on those particular sites, particular pages, looking at things he knows he shouldn't be looking at. He says, you will no longer be caused to fall. You will know right from wrong. You will have discernment. It says in verse 31, you will know right from wrong. You will begin to discern things that are good and that which is evil. Hallelujah. You won't fall into those traps anymore. When I cleanse you from your sins, verse 33 says. How would this restoration happen? How would it take place? Simply, the Lord would do it. The Lord would do it. Verse 36, he said, he would do it. He says, I will gather you. He knows where you are. He knows where you live. He knows everything about you. The Bible tells us he's so concerned about you tonight that he has actually taken the time, get this, to number every hair on your head. And for those who don't have hair tonight, every follicle. He's numbered it all. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves me tonight. What a God. Verse 24, I will gather you. As a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings, I will gather you to myself. Verse 25, he says, I will sprinkle clean water on you. And the clean water speaks of his word. His word, he says, I will speak to you, and as a result, you'll be sanctified. In other words, you'll be set apart from these things that once captivated you. You'll be set apart from these things, set apart from my glory, set apart from me. You'll belong to me. He goes on to say, I will give you a new heart, an obedient heart. Maybe you tried to live for God before in your own strength. And he says to you, his promise to you tonight is, I'll give you an obedient heart. I'll give you a heart, hallelujah, a new heart with a new will, new mind, a new mode of thinking. This speaks of a new mode of thinking, new motives, new actions. A heart that is affectionate towards God. Amazing. He says, I'll put a new spirit in you. My spirit. The Holy Spirit. The spirit of Christ. The spirit of the living God. He will empower you and he will take you where you could never go in your own strength. And he will make you what you could never be. He goes on to say, I will cleanse you from your filthy behavior. Verse 29. I will cleanse you from your filthy behavior. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, but not only to forgive us tonight, but to cleanse us from every unrighteous deed, to cleanse us from all these things. He says, I will give you good crops. And I began to think about this, good crops. And I was thinking in light of the Holy Spirit, fruitfulness. And the Bible says when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace that passes all understanding. Do you need peace tonight? Do you need peace tonight? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I think of so many who want to be a testimony at work or a testimony at school, but you can't even get there on time. You're always late. Say amen or say ouch. You know, God will help you with that too. He'll help you to be faithful, even in those little areas of your life. Gentleness, and as we pray tonight, self-control. The Holy Spirit, when you give him control of your life, he will produce self-control in you, an ability that you never had before to say no to evil and yes to God. Jesus Christ will do it. He's already provided for you and I. Why would he do this? Firstly, simply because he loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, for God so loved and dearly prized you that he even gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in, whoever trusts in, whoever clings to, whoever relies on him would not perish, would not come to destruction, but have eternal life. Secondly, he does it for his name's sake. And I want you to hear me on this tonight, church. He does it for his name's sake. Verse 36 says, when I bring restoration, then the nations all around will know that I, the Lord, rebuilt the ruins and planted lush crops in the wilderness. The world around you will know that only God could do this in your life. Hallelujah. They'll know that only God could do this. They'll say God is good. They'll say like Nebuchadnezzar, your God is God. Hallelujah. Your God is God. Verse 22 and 23 says, I'm going to do it to protect my holy name, and I will show how holy and great my name is. Verse 23 says, I will reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will be witnesses. It has been God's desire to reveal himself to you and through you. That's what this fast is all about. Standing for Christ. Standing for God. As Pastor shared in the very beginning, we cannot do this. God has to do it in us and through us. He's made a way, folks, tonight. The Holy Spirit will do it in and through you. I want to share another testimony that was sent to me, emailed to me. It says, last Thursday, we hosted a coffee house at our outreach. This is a Christian club on a campus here in this city. They said we hosted a coffee house outreach. And it says one non-Christian student accidentally walked in the room thinking this was another event. One that was right next door, actually. But she saw a student from one of her classes, and this student was actually the young girl who I testified to you before about that showed up at our offices, suicidal, and gave her heart to the Lord. Okay? This student goes to this particular college, and she was in that room. So now this girl sees this girl in the, this non-Christian, sees that one particular girl in the room and decides to stick around. After the event, she told this young girl, the one who had come to the Lord already, that she wasn't a Christian, but she had been wanting to check out some type of Bible study, wanting to find some type of Bible study, and that it was really fortunate for her to stumble across this particular InterVarsity Bible study. And so this young girl who had given her heart to the Lord, who comes here to the youth group, invited this girl to come the next night to the gate. She invited her to come Friday night. And when the invitation was given to respond to the gospel, this young girl too got up and gave her heart to Jesus. Now, this other girl is only this new Christian, this girl who I shared about earlier, who had showed up at our offices and given her heart to the Lord. She's only a couple of months saved. And she's already winning people to Christ. She's already winning people to God. Hallelujah. Do you know tonight that there is restoration for you? But not only for you tonight, there's restoration for your family. There's restoration for your friends. There's restoration for your neighbors. There's restoration for your coworkers. He said, freely you've received it, now freely give it. There is restoration for everyone tonight. Hallelujah. When can restoration begin in an individual's life? And I want to close with this. Simply when we pray. When we cry out to God for help. The moment our cry comes to His ear. The same chapter that we were looking at, Ezekiel 36, verse 37, says this. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am ready to hear Israel's prayers. I'm ready to hear your prayers for these blessings. I am ready to grant them their request. I'm ready to grant you your request. Hear the word of the Lord tonight. I'm ready to hear your prayer for these blessings, and I am ready to grant your request. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, everyone that seeks finds, and to him that knocks, it shall be opened. I want to ask you a question tonight. Will you give him your broken heart? Will you let him come in and change you? The Lord loves you, and his arms are open wide tonight. He knows every pain. He knows every battle, every struggle. He knows it all. Will you believe him for those even in your inner circle, those in your paradigm, those in your world? Will you believe God for those around you? Will you believe him? There is forgiveness, there is freedom, and there is restoration for everyone. Tonight, I want to give an invitation for those here who may be here for the first time, or maybe you've been here before and you say, Pastor, I need forgiveness of sin. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus Christ before. But you say, Pastor, I want to invite Christ to come in. I'm tired of going at this on my own. I want to invite Jesus to come in. The Bible says he will leave the 99 and he goes after the one. And that's what this is all about, folks. It's about you tonight. God brought you here. because he loves you. If you say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give everything to him. I need Christ. I need God. I want you to raise your hand on this main floor, all over this place. It's okay. You can raise your hand all over this place. Up in the balcony as well. Maybe you were invited tonight. You put your hand down just for a moment. If you're backslidden, if you've grown cold, you've drifted away from the Lord, this is your night for restoration. This is your night for restoration. I want to invite you as well to come. We're all going to stand together quietly and reverently all over this house. We're going to stand together. Folks, we're not done yet. We're going to minister to these young people. Those who raised their hand, I want you to get out of your seat and come to the front of this church, what we call an altar. I want you to come to the front here. We're going to pray. We're going to worship, and then we're going to pray together. But we're not done, folks. We still have one last segment of prayer that we're going to pray for tonight as we close out this time of prayer and fasting. We have another segment of prayer, but step out of your seat tonight. You say, Pastor, I want to live for Christ. I want to live for God. I need restoration. You will never be the same. I'm tired of living in sin. I need Jesus. I need forgiveness tonight. Don't rationalize tonight. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. He's the one speaking to you. God is speaking to you tonight. He's going to heal you. If you're battling thoughts of suicide, don't walk out here the same. He will break that tonight. God's going to bring an end to that tonight in the name of Jesus. How many would say, Pastor, I'm here to give my life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to get right with God. Raise your hand unashamedly here. Praise God. You need to understand something tonight. Jesus Christ, an innocent man, went to the cross and died. He took the wrath of God Almighty for your sin and mine was poured out upon this innocent man so that you and I, if we were to place our faith in him, we would be forgiven, but not only forgiven, but changed. Changed, that he would make us into the people he created us to be from the very beginning. I want to help you tonight to acknowledge before God, to pray and invite God to come in, to ask him to forgive you for all the wrong things you've done. And so I want to help you by leading you in a simple prayer. And this prayer is not a magic formula, but it's just to help you. And if you believe it from your heart and you pray it from your heart, God will hear your cry tonight. And the Bible says all the record in heaven of all the wrong things you've done, every lie you've told, everything you've stolen, every word you've spoken that has hurt someone, everything will be forgiven. It will be wiped clean, never to be remembered again. And as a result, you will become a citizen of a new country, a citizen of heaven. Your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is an invitation book in heaven, so that when you die and you go to heaven and you stand before those gates, you'll be let in only because you trusted in Jesus, because your name was found in the book. Hallelujah. I want you to raise both your hands tonight to him, those who are coming to Christ. If you're backslidden as well, if you're coming to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand, and I want to lead you just in a simple prayer, acknowledging your need of God. Would you pray with me? Jesus Christ, Son of God, I acknowledge tonight that I am a sinner. I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. Please forgive me. Please come into my life. Come into my heart. Live inside of me by your Spirit. Change me from the inside out. I want to walk with you. I want to glorify you. I believe you died and rose again for this very reason, that I might find forgiveness in you. Tonight, I place my faith in the Son of God, and I ask that you would be glorified from in my life. From this moment on, I give you complete control, and I renounce everything of evil. I renounce every work of the devil, and I acknowledge that I belong to God. I'm rolling with Jesus. God, thank you for hearing my prayer and for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.